this morning. I had a bulletin up here, but it got swiped. Outline, there's an outline in your bulletin. I think it's white paper. Is it white paper? Okay. Wave it, Dolores. There it is, right down there. Right down there. It looks like that. Thank you, woman who swiped my bulletin. You okay? Thank you. Didn't the band do a great job? Woo! They're outstanding. Thank you. Looks like that. All right. We're continuing our series called Believe. Last Sunday, we had an amazing day in God's presence. So let's look into the word and believe today. Last week, we talked about, what about doubt? Remember Thomas? We talked about doubting Thomas. Today, we're going to look at a guy who was sick for 38 years, and Jesus healed him. We're going to look at long-term ongoing problems, ongoing medical issues. You might be dealing with that. Depression. Mental, emotional issues. Overspending. Overeating. Overcommitting. I mean, that's an issue in a lot of people's lives. It rips families' lives apart because you can't say no to anybody. And you do everything for everybody, but then the most important things get left undone because you're out doing everything for everybody. Addictions, things that just won't go away. Cigarettes. Now guess what? Smoking cigarettes won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've already been there. Okay? Got it? So we're not here to condemn you if you smoke cigarettes, but you know what? You need to get free of that thing. That's just a nasty habit. It's going to kill you. We want you to live out the number of the days that God has provided for you so you can walk in freedom. You might be addicted to alcohol. We have a real alcohol problem in our community. I've lived here my whole life, except when I was at college. We have an alcohol problem in our community. There's just as many bars as there are churches. Let's see who wins. But there's an alcohol problem. Pot. Hey, man, it's legal in some places. Yeah, so what? The government legalized. What do they know? Oh, yeah, better dial it in a little bit. Yeah, all right. But you're addicted to something, and you can't stop. For some of you, it might be an ongoing relationship ailment. In your own marriage, there's a problem. You might bounce from guy to guy or girl to girl, and you can never find the right person or commit. I want you to have hope today because freedom is possible. This is Freedom Sunday. Victory is one encounter with Jesus away. All you need is that one encounter with Jesus. So look here in your Bibles in John chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. If not, be up here on the screen. John chapter 5 and verse 1 says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now Jesus is going to a party. Now there's in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which is in Aramaic is called Bethesda and is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, okay? And it says here in the New King James Version of verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, angel disturbed the water. Whoever got in first after stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Man, that's better than a board game right there. One who was there, one of the guys, all these sick people around this pool, was an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, Jesus asked the man who'd been an invalid for 38 years, do you want to get well? That's kind of a loaded question. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And they must have gotten healed when this happened, or otherwise people wouldn't lay around there waiting for the angel to stir the water. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now remember last week we were talking about Thomas, doubting Thomas as he's been labeled. He had an encounter with Jesus that changed everything. He went on to preach the gospel all over the known world, took the gospel as far as India, which was as far as the known world was known at the time, and was martyred for his faith in Christ. This guy at the Pool of Bethesda has been sick, invalid for 38 years. But a moment in the presence of Jesus changed everything for this man. If you're taking notes, fill in this blank. The longer a problem persists, the more discouraged we become. Some of you have had an ongoing issue, an ongoing problem, an ongoing ailment, and it just won't seem to go away. Example, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you've worked on it. Maybe you've gotten some counseling. You've prayed, but it's still a bad marriage. Maybe it's a physical problem. You've gone one doctor to another, prayed, nothing's better, and you're discouraged. There are some here that you've real challenges that you have faced for 20 days, 20 months, 20 years. You've become discouraged because the longer the problem goes on, the longer a problem persists, the more excuses, fill in that blank, we tend to make. We go from being discouraged to making excuses for it. This is exactly what this guy did in verse 7. Jesus said, you want to be well? Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else jumps in ahead of me. Really? There's no humanly way possible to get there. He has no one to help him, evidently. How about scoot? How about do the worm or the wiggle? Or wait on the edge and just kind of fall over and in? You know, something. But he had an excuse. Because the longer a problem persists, the more discouraged we become, the more excuses we make, and the third thing is the more we compensate for that problem. Some of you right here are watching online right now. You're dealing with a situation. You are excelling at compensating for an issue in your life. Some of you right here are watching online. You are highly functioning alcoholics. People don't know it or see it. You go to work every day, but then you go home and have a 12-pack. You hide it well. You figured out how to manage around it. Some of you have learned how to compensate and get around in a dead marriage. You say, well, we're just going to stay together for the kids. That's what we're going to do. You don't like it, but you accept it. There's no intimacy, no spiritual connection. You've learned how to manage the situation. You simply coexist. And that's where you're at. Some of you have a problem with pornography. It's a problem. You've learned to compensate. Others, it's overspending. You compensate for your wasteful living. You live paycheck to paycheck, but it's been happening for years. And you always say, next month will be different. And it never is. Friends, okay, now that I've thoroughly depressed us all, it is time for a change. It's time for an encounter with Jesus. So here are some steps to being whole again and well. The key to your future. Number one, we and God cannot change what we are willing to tolerate. We and God. You can't change it. God can't change it if you're willing to tolerate it. That's why Jesus asked the question, do you want to be well? He didn't just go make him well. He asked him, do you want to be well? Jesus knew he couldn't just help someone who needs help. You can only help someone who wants help. Those of you who are rescuers, have you ever noticed that? You can only help people who want to be helped. But some of you have spent 5, 10 plus years trying to help someone who doesn't want to be helped, and all it does is exasperate you and your spouse and your entire family. Guess what? It's time to cut the cord. Unless they want to be helped, they can't. Too often we accept the labels that have been put on us. Too many times we tend to babysit our problems. We nurse our hurts. We nurse and rehearse our problems. We take our problems and hold it like a newborn. Oh, you're so cute. Oh. And this is our problem. This is the thing that is destroying our life, but we get so comfortable with it. We tolerate it. We nurse it. We rehearse it. We tell it over and over. I had a lady at our first church building, downtown, 3rd Street, 5th Avenue. I'll never forget it. Dear, sweet lady in our church. Loved her with all my heart. Terry did as well. But she would just come in all the time and, oh, pastor, blah, 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 and off she'd go. And she would tell me the same problem she'd been telling me for 2 years. Over and over and over and over again. And I just looked at her one day, because I was like 27. And I just went, I said, quit nursing and rehearsing your problem. I've heard it 50 times. When are we going to do something about it? And she was like, it's like I slapped her with a wet dish rag. And we got her some help. And we dealt with the issue. We dealt with the problem. She quit doing that. But we baby our addictions. When our addictions cry, we feed them and hope they'll just go to sleep for a while. No, they're in the crib dirty in their diaper. You see, our identity must not be found in our weaknesses. Well, there goes Orville, the alcoholic. There's Orville, the drug addict. And we get labeled. No, we must not be labeled by our weaknesses. But our identity must be found in who we are in Jesus Christ. Fill in this blank. One of the biggest obstacles to our faith is the familiar. It's familiar. We get used to living with a situation, a condition, a problem, an obstacle. And what is familiar becomes comfortable, like a nice pair of shoes. See, the sick man there at the Pool of Bethesda, for 38 years, he's been unable to walk. And he's probably saying that. Get in the water. Be well. You don't understand. I haven't been able to walk for 38 years. We say, you don't understand. I've tried everything possible. I've got my resume of excuses. Do you want to see it? I'll print it off for you. I have it right here on my smartphone. And I don't like it, but I've just learned to deal with it. I've learned to manage around it. We start to accept, fill in this blank, what is rather than believing what could be. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling in school. And you say, well, you just don't understand. I'm just an average student. I knew that in second grade and I know it today. I'm just average. You don't have to be. You might say, you have no idea. Our family, we have struggled financially for years. My parents did. I did. My kids probably will. That's just the way it is. I hear that a lot in Sterling Rock Falls. I'm from a mill family. I grew up like a lot of you did too. Just like most people. But it's what you do with that money. That's why we're providing the classes for our teenagers and for our adults to help you get out of the financial disaster that you're in, because God has a way for you there too. You don't understand. We're just all overweight. It's part of our genetics. It impacts us through our lives. I understand genetics. Trust me, I understand genetics. But there's an answer there as well. You don't understand, Pastor God. I've tried to overcome this addiction. I've tried so hard. I've jumped up and down, held my breath, and jumped on one foot, and it just hasn't worked. You're trying it yourself. But it's what all guys do. All guys look at porn. I'm not weird. No, friend, you're not weird. You're just addicted. And you need to get some help. Here's the bottom line, number two. Our desire must be bigger than the disability. Until your desire becomes bigger than that issue, that problem, that addiction, whatever it is that is disabling you, you will not start to find healing. Jesus said, do you want to be well? Do you want to? Are you compensating, making excuses? Are you discouraged? You're just used to living where you are, so you think, that's my lot in life. It's the hand I've been dealt. Well, guess what? Just toss those cards out. Let's get a new deck. God will give you a do-over. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be out of debt? Do you want to break the power of addiction that has held you hostage for so many years? We tend to be more comfortable with the known than becoming uncomfortable with the unknown. Some of you right now, you're sitting there kind of shaking a little bit because you're thinking, this sounds good, but is this a midnight on TV infomercial? When do I have to get my checkbook out? You don't. You leave your checkbook in your pocket or your purse. This isn't about that. This is about coming into a living relationship with the God who created this universe and who loves you. I believe the Spirit of God is asking you, do you really want to be well? So here's what you do. Number three, we must surrender it to Jesus. Jesus said, he walked into the temple one day before his arrest and his crucifixion. He walks into the temple. All the Jewish leaders are there. The people are there. He takes the scroll away from the head rabbi, and they recognized him as a rabbi and a teacher. He unscrolls it. He starts to read. This is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is from the Old Testament. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised or oppressed. King James, I think, says bruised. Who are oppressed. And then it says that he took the scroll, he handed it back to the teacher, and he said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And it said, all the eyes of everyone in the temple were fastened on him. Because he's basically saying, they knew this scripture was speaking to the Messiah, that he was the Messiah of Israel, and Jesus is saying here, you're looking at him. Here I am. And they're freaking out. Matthew 8. Man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, Lord, if it's your will, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Facts about this man's healing, he didn't ask to be healed. As you get to know Jesus, as you press into Jesus, you get close to Jesus, he will do things for you you didn't even ask of him. He'll bring healing in your life in areas where you didn't even know you needed healing. Mentally, emotionally, and different things. He'll change your thought process in ways where you didn't even know that you'd been dysfunctional. Some of you look at your family and you realize we're more like the Addams family than the Brady Bunch. You know, come on, man. If you got Uncle Fester in the corner, there's a problem, man. I'm just telling you. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He'll bring forgiveness. I was so serious there for a minute. He'll bring forgiveness and healing into your heart in areas where you didn't even know you were sick. Things that you're holding against people where you just, there were certain people you just hated them. Oh, I've forgiven them. No, you haven't. And there's still things there. When you get close to Jesus, he'll do things for you you didn't even ask him to do. This man here, this leper, he did nothing to earn or deserve it. He didn't heal this man because he's such a swell guy. Some of us think that, well, if God will heal anybody, he'll heal this person because he's so good. He's done so much for God. Jesus healed the man because Jesus was good. Do you get that? Jesus went about doing good, Acts says. Jesus went about doing good and healing. All who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about doing good and healing. Healing, good, sickness, bad. Got it? It's not rocket science, folks. It's pretty simple. God's grace, his unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor is yours. if you know Jesus. That's the only caveat. Do you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord? If you're here today and you're hearing all this, the first step you need to take is to pray and ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life. We're going to do that at the end of service, and you can receive that, and then we can get you free. Amen? That's your first step. We can't work our way out of it. We can't work our way to get it. The healing didn't happen with this man with leprosy in the way he thought it would. The man at the pool of Bethesda thought he'd get healed by being first in the water. You know, do you want to be well? I don't have anybody to help me. Jesus, will you help me? If the angel troubles the water, just roll me in. I wonder if somebody would have jumped in first and he's an invalid and falls in, would he have drowned? I thought that when I was 8 years old, but we'll just move on. This man thought, if I can just get in the water, I'll be healed. But the healing didn't come through the water. It may come through the living water, Jesus. Some of you are in financial trouble, and you keep buying lottery tickets. You know what? You might be in a lot of debt, and buying lottery tickets, you might see it as a way out. But if you're in a lot of debt right now, winning the lottery is not your answer, because in 2 years, you will be dead broke again. You've got to learn how to manage what you already have. What's the name of the class, honey? Financial Peace University. You need to get into that. Thus saith your pastor, the blessing's not coming through lottery tickets. But if you won $380 million, the tithe is $38 million, just for the record. Just remember that. Then you can get out the checkbook right then. There, let me tell you. God might give you a blessing, a healing, a transformation in some way that you never, ever, ever expected it to occur. It just, out of the blue, it seemed to come. That's the power of our good God. But it's not because of your goodness, it's because Jesus is good. We stop making excuses. Number four, fill in this blank. We stop making excuses and take bold steps of faith. That's what you have to do today. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you pray with me at the end of this service. That's a start. We'll explain what that means. What did Jesus say to the crippled man? Get up, pick up your mat. Get out of this place designated for sick people. You're labeled. Get out of this beggar's mat that has defined you. Get out of this place that defines you. This is where those folks hang out. This is no longer your identity. You're free of this. Start doing what you have never done before. This is a big part of faith right now. Start doing what you've never done before. Somebody might come forward and their arm's hurting, and we'll pray for them and say, now start doing something you haven't been able to do before, and watch God start working. Wow, it doesn't hurt when I do that. It hurt when I did that before. Now it doesn't hurt. Healing's starting. Start doing what you've never been able to do before by the power of God. Then deliverance, healing, and victory are yours right now. Number five, what was once your greatest misery will one day be your greatest ministry. Your weakness will become your witness. The thing that held you back, you'll be able to stand up and say, this is how I once was, but now by the power and grace of God, this is who I am today. Boom. And you can take that on the road. Your test will become your testimony. You can be made well and whole with your encounter with Jesus. So, I ask you, do you really want to be well? Really? Are you ready to be well? Willing to fight this battle once again? See yourself well. Deliverance is coming and is going to come. Supernatural impartation. But what you do when you walk out of here will determine your outcome. If you go out of here and say, well, you know, it's still the same old, but you don't start to make some changes, you'll just fall right back into the same rut you were when you came here. And today, all the ruts are muddy and wet because it rained all night. So don't get into that rut. Some of you need to stop hanging with people who pull you down. Some of you need to stop hanging with people who spend their money foolishly. You need to separate from dead folks who are pulling you down. If you have an issue with alcohol, you need to stop hanging out in the bars. I'll just have a Coke. You're not ready for that yet. There might be a day when you can get back to that, but if that's where you are today, you have this issue with alcohol that I've talked about, and that hit home with you, you need to stay out of that place. If you have a food addiction, you need to figure out what is eating at you inside, and we can get healing for you. Because what you're trying to do is fill a void that only Jesus can fill. You're filling it with junk. So we're going to pray for folks for healing today in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to have an invitation for people to receive Jesus. I want you to listen to this right now. I shared this last night at the campfire, but I want to share this at altar call time. Okay? As far as what God has for you, what he has provided for you. Last night, or on Friday night, we were going over to see our favorite local band, Firefly, at the Beans Coffee House. Well, we needed to stop and get something to eat because they just have desserts and drinks there, coffee and hot chocolate, all that kind of stuff. And so I needed to eat something, some kind of dinner. And we're leaving the church. We're going down Locust. And Terry and I are talking, where do you want to go? What do you want to get? Da, 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 da. And finally, we settled on that great American institution, Taco Bell. So I said, I'm just going to get one Taco Supreme and one of their fabulous teas, right? Okay. So I pull in, and I order, and I go on up to the window. There's nobody in front of me. There's nobody behind me. So I pull right on up to the window. And I do what I'm always want to do when I'm out. I'm going to bless the person behind me. Because just as I pull up, I see somebody pull up to the speaker, the ordering speaker behind me. So I'm going to pay for theirs too. I don't know who this person is because the way the sun was setting right about that time, I couldn't even look into their windshield to see if it was a man or a woman, whether it was one person in the car or 10. It's kind of an SUV minivan. But I just had in my heart, pay for the person behind me. Pay it forward. That's a good thing to do. Do it today if you're going through a drive-thru. It's Sunday. You ought to sit down. But if you're going through a drive-thru, bless somebody behind you. It's a blast to do that, especially if you have an Abiding Word Church sticker on the back of your car. Now, if you do have an Abiding Word Church sticker, please pay for somebody. Don't get mad and tell them they're number one or fly the flag at them if they cut you off in traffic. Got me? Okay. Some of you are following. So I pull up. And the lady says it'll be, you know, $4.38 or whatever it was. And I says, okay. I said, I'd like to get the person behind me, too. And she says, well, she said, they haven't ordered yet. They were sitting there. I think they were probably talking to everybody in the car. So there must have been more than one person in the car. And they're sitting there waiting. I said, that's okay. I can wait. But when they're done, just go ahead. They start to give me my drink and everything. And finally, I turned and I looked at my side view mirror, and I noticed the vehicle behind me that was at the speaker was backing out of its place, and it was backing back into the parking lot, and she said, they're leaving. And I went, oh, okay. And she says, man, they don't know what they were missing. They don't know what they were missing. We got our food, we paid, got our food, we pulled out, and they were already around to the stop sign by the theater, D&E Furniture there, you know, they're taking a right on Locust. And I looked, and it was an SUV or van filled with kids. You might be thinking, well, you got blessed, you didn't have to pay for all that. Well, I was going to bless them. I didn't care. If it was $2 or $50, I was going to bless them. But you know what? They missed out on it. Their whole meal was going to be paid for. They don't know what they missed out on. That's how it is with God. Everything you have need of in this life has been provided for you through Christ. Don't back out of God's drive-thru. Don't back out and just say, well, no, I don't want to give that up. I want to nurse and rehearse that problem. I want to hang on to it. No, let's let it go today. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Right now, in Jesus' name, I'd like to ask, if there is anyone here, you'd say, Pastor Scott, I have never prayed to ask Jesus Christ into my heart and life. and you would like to do that today, here's what happens. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you do, you believe that, then you need to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. The Bible says you will be saved, sozoed. What becomes available for you is salvation, your ticket to heaven's punch, healing, deliverance. The Spirit of Almighty God will come and live on the inside of you, and you will be changed in a moment, in an instant, right now. You'll be changed. You'll leave here a different person than walked in. Or you may be here. So if that's you, I want to pray with you. Or you may be here and you say, Pastor Scott, there was a time in my life when I served God, but for whatever reason, you took a walk on that commitment and you've just been out doing your own thing. And you want to recommit, rededicate. You want to come home to your Father's house. Here's the good news, friend. God's not mad at you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. If that's you, you pray with us right now to recommit, rededicate your life. God will forgive you. He'll welcome you home with open arms. So I invite the family here to Abiding Word and those who want to pray. Say this with me right out loud. Right out loud. Just say this with me. Say, Dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave and he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes,